Through the Blackwater bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast brought to you by Tacticam. Tacticam is by far the easiest way to begin filming your hunts. Whether it's the budget-friendly solo or the 4K 5.0, Tacticam has something for everyone. Check them out at tacticam.com. This year we're also working with Spartan Forge. Spartan Forge is machine learning for the deer woods. It uses military-grade technology to pattern deer using billions of data points from collared deer studies, insurance information, all sorts of different things. But one of the other things that it uses is some incredible imagery. The layers that Spartan Forge use have different times of the year, different foliages, and it is really incredible to look at the areas that you hunt through these images when we're used to seeing with the other mapping softwares what they are offering. And if you go back to the episode that we did with Bill about a month or so ago, on there he talks about the ability coming down the pike to add your own imagery. So if you have, if you want winter imagery, if you want other things to add to these areas, you're going to be able to do that. You can check that out at spartanforge.ai, and that is back out of beta. It is on the App Store for Apple and the Play Store for Google. And you can check them out at spartanforge.ai. I believe you can still sign up through the website using code BOWHUNTERS, and you can save 25% there. spartanforge.ai. Follow along with them on social media. They're giving away a couple of different hunts. They did a veterans hunt, and then they did one with Taylor Chamberlain, and then one with Shirk's guide service. So check them out. Really like working with those guys. And we've got a bunch of big things coming up for 2022. I think we're going to wait to announce all of that till everything is up and running. But some big changes are coming for our podcast, and we're real excited about those. Just ironing out the final details. Real quick, we got to give some shout outs to Adam Hudson, just killed a giant buck in West Virginia, and Brad Collings is still getting after it down there in Tennessee, Kentucky. I don't know. He works in one and lives in the other. Check him out at BDS Outdoors, but he's still putting in the time, putting in work. And congrats to those guys on some great deer that they just harvested. They're two of our Patreons, two new Patreons, Anthony Recipco out of Ashtabula, Ohio. And then also Brad Shook from Hamilton, Michigan, right here, not too far from us. Really appreciate the support. Patreon is basically crowdfunding for creators. It allows us to try out different gear. It allows us to bounce ideas for the podcast off of guys that are following along and are vested in this show. And I send out a note to each one of them saying, you know, this is their show. They are now the program directors. If there's something they want to hear about, you know, that's where we go for ideas for the show. Like I say, these guys are vested in helping us be able to host the show, run the show, do the website, all of that. And we give back with quarterly giveaways, and we're going to try and do some more giveaways here coming up for 2022, maybe to a monthly level or something a little bit more frequently. But we do giveaways with our partners. So Tacticam, I was giving away one of their cameras. We have Spartan Forge gives a subscription to their service. Our friends over at Zinger Fletchings, they give away one of their test packs to let you shoot those. Really enjoy shooting those. And then we put in whatever we think is relevant. And we're going to be doing a pack episode. We're going to be doing a video pack episode so you guys can check out some of the packs. I think that's one of the questions that we get most often. And I did just get in an Everly Stock X2 pack that we're going to be giving away. And then I had forgotten that you guys wanted us to give away a back tension or tension release. So we're going to be giving away, I think it's going to be a Carter Evo. John did just order one of the UltraView hinge releases, but collectively we thought it wouldn't be nice to give you guys a hinge. We'd have Patreons with broken eyes or broken noses and black eyes and things like that. But we do giveaways, and then we've got swag that we sent out. I just ordered more stickers, more koozies, and for Brad and Anthony, I'm getting those shirts shipped out tomorrow. But here we are going in. This is going to launch the day before Thanksgiving. Everybody get out, make those traditions, whether it's just time with the family, whether my family's all headed up to deer camp, and we're going to be doing that. But, you know, enjoy your holiday. Hopefully this podcast finds you well. It's just Frank, John, and I going over how our season's been going so far. And we appreciate every single one of you. You know, talk about Thanksgiving and giving thanks. We're thankful for every single one of you guys. If you're interested in Patreon, you can check that out at patreon.com/bowhunterchroniclespodcast or check out the link in our Instagram or on the website. If not, just tell somebody about it. Go ahead and leave us a review if you would. That definitely helps us. But other than that, thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the episode. All right, the gang's all here. We got John, Uncle Frank, and myself. Just kind of gonna recap what's been going on with our hunting season so far. You know, like Frank is usually like all over it. You know, hunting, and I, you know, for myself with the going out west and coming back and trying to hunt, and John's got a new job, and like there's a whole lot of life, but we got some stories to kind of catch up on, and it's been eventful. I won't say that it hasn't been, but so what's been going on with your hunting, John? I think last time we talked, you hunted a couple times or something.
I've only hunted a couple more times since then. I mean, it's just been busy. I've been busy as hell, but
you made them count, right? I mean, yeah. You didn't. So John hadn't shot anything. I hit one and, you know, had to get a dog and didn't recover it, but we'll get to that. Uncle Frank ended the 5-year drought or however the hell long it's been. Hasn't shot one since he was in his 50s.
Get out of here, dude. 50 my ass.
40s.
Shit.
But I think like your scenario, John, and so I hunt a lot more with Frank than I do with John. I've only deer hunted with you a handful of times, especially in Michigan. I've hunted more with you out of state than I have here in Michigan. But you always have like the, I guess let's go through like your approach to hunting, because you're on a very like truncated timetable, I feel like. And so you're in a very good example of like doing the best to like make your cunt.
Yes. Make my hunts count.
Make your hunts count. Make
your, yes. Yeah. So, well, especially, well, in the past few years, I was always kind of hunting for my son, whatever. And then I get out and do whatever. But this year, like I always procrastinate, don't go out and do my scouting, you know, before a season. So then I just kind of play it by ear as I go out. I just check out certain spots that I kind of know. And then like this year I checked out a new spot and I found some good sign, but it kind of looked It didn't look like mature buck sign to me. And so I, the few hunts I did have, so I hunted that spot three times. Like it was like late, getting in there kind of late the first two times. So I didn't really get back in where I wanted to go. I was kind of observation. And then finally got in, had a good sit, got in real early and seen the buck that was kind of in the area. I mean, one of them, it was just like a little 6 or 8 point, nothing, you know, huge. And so I was like, well, I gave it one more sit. I left my stuff in the stand or in the tree that night, hunted it again the next morning and, didn't see anything else. So I, was kind of like crunched on time, but I knew of a spot that was fairly close that, but I haven't been up there in probably 2 years. And so, but I know it's good. I've really scouted it, you know, scouted in season, late season, post season in the past year. So I kind of know the area layout where the doe's bed and found some, you know, good buck sign and stuff in the past. And I'm like, well, haven't been up there or anything, but I'm going to give it a little, you know, give it a shot. So I got up in there and it was kind of funny. Like my wife was, she's like, well, she's like, knew I was going to hunt that day, but then she's like, well, aren't we going to make dinner? I'm like, well.
That was the day that I had hit this,
yeah,
this
so,
buck. So John's over here looking at reviewing video footage for me, and he's like, well, I got to go. And he's like, keep your dogs away from me. You're like all concerned.
Yeah, so I hunted. That was, you know, I hunted that spot in the morning, and then I was like, well, I got to figure out where I'm going to go. Because by the time I left here, I was like, I wanted to go up north, either up by my property or a spot close to there. And I was like, no, I don't.
I want to get back to your property, so don't let me forget that.
But so I'm like, I don't want to, you know, risk it getting in late and just doing another rush hunt. So that's why I picked a spot closer to home. Figured, well, at least there I'd get in a good time and then check it out.
And tell us what this property, this place that you've scouted extensively and like where you ended up, like how does it lay out?
So it's a big chunk of public. It's got a big, huge hardwoods ridge area, you know, big hardwoods plot. Then it kind of comes down to a creek bottom, and then the creek bottom gets out, and then the south side of it is private. The south side of the marsh is private. But then it's kind of horseshoe shape, and then there's some school pines up on the north side, and years ago I used to hunt like the pines and stuff. Like it was like, oh, I'm gonna get up here. You'd see sign,
and you had pole trees for your climber. Yeah,
exactly. But it was like I'd always hear stuff out in the marsh, and then after you know starting this podcast and everything, that's when I started going really scouting it and actually walking through that. I actually walked it the 1 year with my snowshoes on in late season and walked right out through all that stuff. And that's when I really kind of figured out the layout. And so I went up in and like, just after you get out, like I have to cross the creek to get over to where I'm going, cross the creek, get up. And then as you get, it's like that transition line. It comes down all the kind of the pines and hardwoods, and you get that the red brush, and then there's some little gnarly stuff, and then you get that underbrush where the deer are going to bed. And so I knew where like a doe bedding area was in the past. So I get down in there, and sure enough, all kinds of bedding, but it didn't look real fresh. But there was a couple runways going out into the marsh, out towards this little island and stuff that looked like there was maybe a few sets of fresh tracks. So at that point I'm like, well, this is going to be my best bet. I need to get, but you know, by the time walking in and doing all that, I'm like, I need to get in a tree. But it was kind of like in faults, dating the ugly chick or whatever. It was one of those trees where I could only get two sticks up. And, but it was a all or nothing situation where I had pretty much one shot to my left and it was like maybe 10 yards. And then one shot to my right, that was around 15 to 20. There was an opening. And like, well, so I'm sitting there and then I'm thinking about what my wife was saying. And then you had shot that buck in the morning. You said that you're going to have the dog out there at 8 o'clock. I'm like, well, I just kind of like didn't have real confidence in the spot.
Just real quick with that, like without having like confidence in the spot, like what made you get up the tree there? Like, was it the previous scouting that you had had in there?
Yeah.
Or like what? Because like I find myself in that position a lot where it's like I'll walk in. Well, it happened to me last Saturday, and like I could have shot a deer out of the tree that I walked right to. And then I was like, it's too open right here. Like I need to be right on the edge of the thick. And then I ended up getting in there too far. And then when it got daylight, I'm like, well, I'm on the wrong side of the thick. I mean, I'm downwind of bedding, like right up against it, but all the runways stopped out there. You know what I mean? And so like,
that should tell you something.
So where I would
go at, on your first,
I knew first I was at thought. I knew I was at the point if I went any farther, if there was something in that section, I was going to bump them.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like.
But you didn't turn around and go.
Nope. I didn't go anywhere else. I'm like.
But why not? Like, what? Why didn't you, like, back out and go to another?
Because that was, like, the best. That was going to be the top spot in that area for me. Like, if I was going to leave, I was just going to go back to the truck and just not hunt at that point. So that's why I was like, well, you know, it's not really the sign I wanted to see, you know, but there was some fresh tracks on a couple of those runways. So that's why I was like, well, I'm going to get up this tree.
And at that point, it was your best option.
Exactly.
You know.
And so that's when while I was sitting there, I'm like, man, I mean, this spot just looks awesome. But it was just kind of like the thing that was just eating at me was like it wasn't like the fresh sign I was hoping to find. Normally, right up above that, it's all tore up and scraped. But it's like the area where they're in there at dark, you know. So I was trying to get down on that edge where I would, you know, it'd be like a closing time shot. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, you know, your deer and my wife and and it was just after the time change. So, you know, now it's getting sunsets at like, I think it was like 5:38 or something that night. And so I'm sitting there thinking, and it's like 5:30, hadn't seen nothing. And then there's a couple like little houses that are off on the south side of this marsh, and I can see them, you know, they're a ways off. But they're out shooting guns and stuff. And at one point, I was like kind of ducking behind the tree, like, man, I hope these people aren't shooting out in the marsh. You know, like they can't see me. But so anyway, I got all this shit going through my head. And it was 5:30. I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to get down. If I get down right now, I get out of here, you know, real quick. And when it's still daylight, get home, make dinner, and then I can, you know, catch up with you and help you track that buck. And, no, I can't do it. I just got to sit. So I'm like, it was almost quarter to. I mean, so sun had set. I think we had a few more, you know, minutes. And I was like, maybe it was 22. Anyway, I was like, screw it. I hooked my bow up. I sent it down. And normally I just throw my rope off so I don't get tangled up going down. But I left it hooked on me. And then I packed everything up, put my pack on, hooked in my lineman, unhooked from my tether. And as soon as I did that, all of a sudden I hear deer out in the cattails. Like, son of a bitch. So I'm like, I'm looking out there. And so I couldn't see him yet. And then all of a sudden I hear, I'm like, oh shit, it's a buck. So I'm grab my bow rope, I pull my bow back, and then it's only like 9 feet anyway. So
yeah. You could have reached down and grabbed it, dude.
Get it up.
Well, reach down and grab my bow.
And normally I put my release in my bino harness, but I had in the middle of like getting everything packed up, I just took my release off my bow and I threw it in my front pocket. Well, everyone knows like when you're in your saddle and you put your lineman's belt on, well, anyways, mine, it like covers your pockets. So now I'm like, and that's all I'm in is my lineman. And I'm like, shit, I'm trying to dig around, and I can't get my hand in my pocket. Finally, you know, I get adjusted, I get my release out, clip it on, and they're out there for a few more minutes just running around. I can hear them chasing, and then all of a sudden, I'm like looking, and it's starting, you know, I can still see my pins. It's still, you know, legal shooting light and everything. I'm like, I see the cattails moving, and I'm like, holy shit, those aren't cattails. That was his horns, you know, and they come out, and it was probably, it was definitely the biggest buck in Michigan I've ever seen in the woods. It was the biggest buck I've ever seen in the woods anywhere except for the, you know, your buck, you know, the buck I seen the year before you shot it, which I guarantee it was the same buck, but I had him at 17 yards broadside sitting there, but I was already tagged out. All I had was a doe tag. So, and then I didn't even video it right. But, so he's on that runway, and I'm like, oh, it's going to happen. You know, that was the runway he had to be on, and he's going to come out right underneath me, and he's coming out steady, just ch-ch-ch-ch. But then I can hear the doe. She's out on the other paralleling runway to the south, but he's steady, just coming, and all of a sudden he gets right. He's like not even 10 yards, and he's stops right there, and three more steps, I would have been able to have a clear shot, but it would have been like one of your shots, like frontal through the neck kind of thing.
Collarbone.
Collarbone, but I was going to let him have it with that arrow.
Shots.
Because I got them alien broadheads, and those things are, you know, wicked sharp after I sharpen them up, and the heavy arrow, they're almost 600 grains, so I would no doubt that it would have went through them. But he stopped because that doe was dinking around over there. And so he's like looking over. I'm like, no, just keep coming this way. And sure enough, he turns and starts, you know, to go to the south right through the thick shit. So at that point, I'm still in my lineman. I didn't hook back into my tether. So I had one opening right over to my right where he was going to. And so I have to pick my bow around the tree. So as I do that, I like start drawing my bow as it's way up, you know, to do it like all in one motion. And that's one thing, I'm shooting my PSE with the knock on elevate rest, and I didn't put the full capture back on, so it just has the half horseshoe or whatever. And as I'm going up and over and drawing back, the arrow like falls off the whale tail and like kind of goes underneath it at half draw. So now I'm flicking the arrow like, and I flick it up on there and then get the full draw. But at the same time, like, he's steady going towards that doe, and he never even, you know, even if I would have been 100% ready, there was no shot. He just went through that one little opening, and then it was really thick brush. And I was like, son of a bitch. And I was still like, he got over into a brush a little bit farther to the right, and there was like a possible shooting opportunity over there if it would have been like perfect light. And I was still thinking about it, but he stopped underneath that dark bush and then just kind of, I don't know if he'd heard some commotion while I was doing the, you know, the finger flick on the rest.
Ting, to ting, ting, to ting.
Like, hey. No. But he kind of looked my way and then just kind of bounded off straight away. Just a few hops. And then the doe was, she never spooked or anything. She just doing her thing. And he just turned and act like nothing happened and just went after her. I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, I had a hard time sleeping that night because of, I mean, it was so cool seeing it. Like, I'm like, all that old scouting paid off. Like, and you know, here I was second guessing myself like on the situation, but it was just enough sign. Of course, a hot doe, you know, that was the thing too, is like in the past I would sit, even after I had scouted it, the last two times I had hunted it, I had stayed like, cause there was no real good trees and shot opportunities in there, you know, but it was like, so I'd stayed back, you know, or shot, you know, shooting
for your climber or like,
no, was that my climber? I must've been. I had my XOP.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely wouldn't have been in the XOP in that tree because, like I said, it was the ugly chick tree. Sorry for all the ugly chicks out there, but
plenty of trees for them.
Plenty of trees. But you find the right guy, hey.
Yeah.
But so when I had sat like off up on that ridge and stuff, I always seen does going in and out of there. That was another thing. It's like, you know, we're getting close to the rut. Those does are going to do what they want to do, and especially they're heading, what they normally do in that spot is they'd head over, then they would cross the creek, and then especially if there's a good mass crop, because it's a ton of hardwoods off to the west of there, they, you know, they just go out there and feed out in the hardwoods at night. But I was like, well, it was cool, but it would have been even cooler if I would have arrowed him. But
and so you haven't been back there hunting that spot.
No, I did. So I went back. That was the last time I had. So last Saturday night, I got to sneak out again. And so I ended up right in that same area, but I came back a little bit. There's one tree a little bit like better. And I end up,
it was like a six, not a four.
Quite the ugly chick. You could probably, you know,
you could get
out
three sticks in it.
You know. No, that was the thing. So I get up higher in that one. So I got up higher. I got all the way up. I used both. I mean, I stretched it out and had all four sticks up as high as I could go.
So you actually had to use your bow rope then for you.
Yeah, I had my bow rope. Yep, yeah, all the way.
Yeah, you couldn't just reach down and grab it.
But so that night I'm sitting there. And of course, you know, that was the 13th. So there's guys driving around and I seen headlights up in the woods, you know, on the other side over there. So, you know, gun hunters are out getting their spots ready for the, and also maybe they'd push something, but as I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, I better check my camera, but my property. And sure enough, it's like I just get the thing and there's a decent buck on my property. I'd probably shoot him. And he's there right in front of my camera at like 3:23 or something.
Did you see any deer or anything that day?
I did not see any deer.
So that was my question. And I'm glad you circled back to that deer on your property, because like with truncated timetable and now with the advent of cell cameras, like you have this deer on your property every day.
Yeah.
And you're not up there. It's an hour and a half drive. Yeah, hour,
not quite an hour and a half. But
yeah.
Hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. So to get up there. But I mean, is it just like, it would be like such a slam dunk that it doesn't like get your blood up, or it seems too easy? Like,
no, it was just,
But I mean, even now, he's probably still on your camera.
Oh yeah, he was on there again, but maybe if it was the buck that I'd seen in this last spot, there'd be no doubt. But I just not, you know. I mean, he's a decent buck. I mean, it'd be cool to see him grow in another year or two or something. But you know, I don't know.
Difficult there.
Does it take the fun out of it?
I guess that's the first buck I've ever had in that spot.
That's your first trail camera that you've ever had. So.
Right, but that's the, I've had hundreds of pictures of deer, like all winter long, they bed right in front of that camera and it's all those. Like at one point I had like 20 different deer on it in one picture, like the whole herd of them, but I've never seen any horns. So that was like the first one. And then there is another little buck too in there. It's like a little forky, but I mean, I guess maybe what I think is maybe if Jet could stop hunting girls and wanted to go hunt, I would bring him up, because it's a legal buck for sure. He's got four on one side, but I think it's a 7-point. The one picture where you can see his horns good, I can't tell if he's got a brow tine on the left.
And you know that there's people that are at home going, they're antlers. They're antlers.
Right.
From the most anal guy that you know, as far as like by the book, he's over here with the horns. So Frank here, when I went to Wisconsin, went to Ohio, and I get back, or I'm in Wisconsin, and we're talking. And every time for, like, over a week, we'd be talking, and I'd be like, yeah, so when are you coming home? He's like, all right, well, I got to go. I'm like, what the fuck? I talked to John. He's like, have you talked to Frank? Like, this, that, you know? And then I get home, like, Frank shot a deer down in Ohio. I'm like, what? he asked me, like, where are you hunting? You know, what's going on? How's things? Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, well, so how's things going down there? When you coming home? Like, I'm seeing a few deer, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, when you headed back? Like, all right, got to go. Like, what did I do?
I come back, though, you know, and I'd been down there, what, 13 days?
I don't know. I didn't know when you left.
It's like 13 days. 13 days I was down there, and my wife says, "What? Why did you come back?" She goes, "You should have stayed another week." She said, "You got another tag, you know." I'm going, okay, you know, all right, yeah, I'll see ya, you know.
Well, and he's talking about buying a muzzleloader last night, and he's trying to figure it out, and he's like, oh, she's like, oh, you're going back? Why didn't you just stay down there? And he's like, well, muzzleloader season's in January.
You know, I'd have had to been there a while, for God's sake. I'd have had to figure it out, though. I ain't shitting you.
Like, holy shit.
So how'd your trip go down there, Frank?
Really good. It was, I ended up shooting a doe, but it was, I had opportunities at other, you know, other bucks and stuff, but.
Did you guys stay at a hotel?
No.
You stayed at a house?
Yeah.
You probably would have wore out your welcome there by January.
Yeah, I don't think that had been good. But it was just trying to learn different things, you know what I mean? You have to throw that Michigan mentality right out the window almost, you know, on most of it.
And what do you mean there?
It's the way you're hunting, you know. I mean, what you're hunting. You're hunting, you know, like, could be a 80-acre cut bean field, you know, and like a tree line or a fence line, you know. So, and you're thinking in the back of your head the whole time, you know, you're going, what the hell am I doing sitting here, you know. And then the next thing you know is one of the biggest bucks you've ever seen in your life comes by, you know. So I really enjoyed it, you know, and hopefully, you know, I learned some stuff. And
so John's heard things about Ohio that I hadn't, and I've heard things that he hadn't, so I'll say that you chose not to take the opportunity to hunt the deer of a lifetime.
Well,
and I want to know why the setup was what it was.
The property that
we'll start off from, like, what you had seen and how you ended up going over there and whatnot.
I was sitting on the ground. And it was in the evening, and I had some deer come out and just cut beans in the middle of the field, probably 200 yards, you know. And I watched them for a while, you know, and there was four of them out there, you know. And on the other side of the field, there was still, all the way to the back side, there was standing corn. Well, I didn't have my binoculars with me that night. I don't know why, but... So, and I had my rangefinder in my pocket too, but it was like, all of a sudden I looked all the way to the other side of the field, and there's a doe, you know, big doe. She's going along this fence line right there by the cut corn. And I was watching her, you know, and then all of a sudden I look behind her, and as I find out, you know, the distance, I'll explain that this deer, it was a huge rack, just a monster, you know. That's all I saw was horns, big body, you know, or antlers, you know, whatever. Horns. I'd call them horns.
Horns.
But anyways, he's not chasing her, but he is just following her. And I watched, maybe he might have followed her for 20 yards, and I think she had pissed there or something, but I thought he worked his scrape, but he didn't really, because I went and checked it out. But she just kept walking, you know, And he stopped over there, and I seen him. He had his, you know, his antlers up in the tree. You know,
did what I mean? Say horns earlier?
Yeah.
Multiple times.
So, anyways, he's you know, he's working over this tree or whatever, and he had put his nose down by the ground. That's why I thought it was a scrape. And then and then absolutely just turns right and walks right back into the corn. Gone. Well, then I'm sitting there going, Jesus, you had your rangefinder in your pocket. You could at least took a better look at him, you know. So I ranged it across that field, and it was 382 yards to that point. And so I talked to the guys we were hunting with, you know, and he said, well, he knew the guy that owned the other property, you know, where that was. And he said something about, well, maybe I can get you. He's got a couple of stands on that edge. Maybe I can get you in there. I said, okay. So we go over there the next day, and we're checking it out, and there was a stand on that edge, but it was a small ladder stand, very small platform. Plus, there was a limb coming off in it where, you know, this guy had left this, you know. Mm-hmm. I would have had to cut it off to hunt out of the stand.
Because you're left-handed.
Yeah, because I'm left-handed. And I talked to the guy that I was with, and he goes, the one guy says, well, just cut that off, Rick. And I goes, no, I'm not. And we agreed with the other gentleman. He said, no, that's somebody else's stand. You can't go cutting stuff out of it like that. I said, yeah, I know. I realize that. So I couldn't hunt it, right?
Mm-hmm. But why couldn't you, like, you were hunting on the ground 400 yards away. You couldn't have just hunted on the ground right there?
Was it too open?
Oh, it was like, you know what I mean? It was unreal how it was. I mean, I'd have been sitting there. I could have kicked a deer probably when he walked by, you know. But anyway, so I chose not to hunt it. And the next morning, I was back on the other side again on the ground, but I had my binoculars with that morning. So that would be probably dead center of the field almost, you know, that I was looking across. So to the west, there was a corner back there. What I really didn't realize was there was a raise in that field over toward that corner, and then it went down back there into the corner. So you couldn't actually see those deer, you know, unless they had came down the field farther or up over that rise. Well, I'm sitting there, you know, and I'd seen some deer earlier, different places, you know, and all of a sudden I look over there and I see, what is that, you know, and I throw my binoculars up. Well, it's a doe's head. That's all you could see. It was just a head sticking up over that, you know, rise. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, there's another one. And they're both kind of looking back to the west, you know. I see them looking back, and then they just, it was like the dude, you know, that used to go down the stairs, you know. Yeah. It was went doom, 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 and they were gone. You know, they went.
It was to, like that turkey.
Yeah, they went to the east, you know, and I'm going, shit, you know, and not thinking, you know, I'm going, well, they're gone, you know. And then I went, well, they were looking to the west. So I panned back with my binoculars, and all I see is freaking tines. This is it. This is no shit. It's just like tines, and it's going doom, 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 and it went down the stairs too, you know. And I'm going, holy shit, you know. And then I looked back to the left. Well, those does were out where I could see them then, you know, right on that edge, you know, going by that stand. And I'm going to puke then, you know. I'm going, oh, God. And so as I'm watching those does, I thought, okay, he's going to come out. And I pan back, and right almost in the spot where the stand is, I just see his ass going in the corn. Boom. Gone. And I go, shit. You know,
good spot.
And the guy told me, he goes, I told you you should have hunted it. But it was a 2-day opportunity, like, because somebody else, it was getting near the weekend, and the guy was kind of going to be in there, you know. So it was kind of, you know,
but well, you never climbed up in that stand and
no,
took a look and said,
no,
yeah,
no. It's one of the biggest bucks I've ever seen before in my life. You know, I mean,
bigger than
it was, well, the one I saw in Nebraska was a 180 class
that you saw
or shot at.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Missed.
asshole.
But anyways,
you had to bring that up.
Yeah, you had to bring that up again. All the heartbreak and pain again are coming back. I'll have seizures tonight. So anyway, I ranged it, and it was 412 to where he crossed right there. That stand was, but I mean, you it's amazing how big the rack was, you know, and how big the deer was. So then I just, you know, I sat a couple other spots near there. I saw some deer, you know, smaller buck. And then I moved on from there, you know, and I saw another really, really nice deer. And I think he was like just a mainframe eight, but he was one of the biggest eights I've ever seen in my life. I had him go by at 35 yards, and that was the same stand I shot the doe out of. But
no shot on that one?
No. The way it was, he came from across the road, you know, and it's like I say, these little ditch lines and stuff. And it's like, I don't know if something spooked him, but my wind was going right there. Now, you'd think, you know, with my wind going there, and a couple of the guys I was hunting with said, if he would have winded you, he'd have turned around and went back. You would think, right?
Yeah, then normally go back.
But he didn't. This deer, I heard him, you know, right there, you know, you like say 35 yards, and he came right across the little ridge that I was on, and just like he did like a long dive down into the pickers and stuff, and you could just see, you know, the rack. I mean, he was a big deer too. It was a really nice one. And then I sat that stand two more times and never saw nothing. So the wind was kind of messed up, but
then you got an opportunity to shot a doe.
Well, I shot her the morning before I saw that buck.
Oh, okay.
And that was the first deer I'd seen out of that stand.
He was looking for his doe.
Well, and she, you know, what was really weird, John, like, you know.
I had a date with Betty over here.
What was really weird is I thought, as soon as I saw her, you know, come up in there, and she's coming right straight at me in this stand I'm in, and the ridge runs right here, like in front of me, you know, this way. And she come up out of this thick stuff down below. Well, she come right to the stand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right below it, she gets on the run, so I didn't have no shot. And she walks right by me this way. Well, there was a scrape back there, and I couldn't really tell her. It was pretty thick if she went to the scrape or not. I thought I saw her turn, and it looked like she was going to go across the road, you know? So I stood there for quite a while, and I didn't see her anymore. So I thought, I'll just hang my bow up, you know? And sit down. So I just hung my bow up real carefully, you know, and I started sitting down. As I was sitting down, then I could see back there, and she was to the right of the run, and she turned around and started walking back. And I thought, you're going to walk right down that runway, aren't you? And she goes, yep. So I stayed sitting down. I didn't try to get up because she would have been only like 10 yards, you know, on that run. So I just picked up my bow and hooked my release on, and there was a tree here and a tree here, you know, and I'm watching her, and she walks on that run where I'd watched her walk before, you know, and she walked right out in front of me and right down that ridge. She was going to go bed probably back up in there, and she got just to the edge of the brush there, the briars, and I had it right behind her front leg and let her go. Smoked her.
She went to bed all right.
Oh, yeah. She took about 50 yards, and she was done.
She took the dirt nap.
I mean, it went in, that thunderhead went in right at the back of her shoulder on the right side, and it came out low in her brisket, her chest right here, and then hit the leg below the knee joint on the opposite side. Yeah, it just smacked like that, you know, and she just hard run. But she went right into them briars and stuff. You know, Adam, how thick that stuff is down there.
It's like the shit that you got.
Oh, yeah, that got hung up. Crucified. Hey, I needed help.
Help me. Turn your light on, you son of a bitch.
But anyways, it was like she just down into that stuff, you know, and I could see the arrow, you know, the lit knock, you know. And then as she went down, she just went maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 yards, and all of a sudden, boom, I see her come back up the ridge, and I seen the knock again, you know. But then she's on that run again, you know, that goes right by me that I shot her on. And then everything just got quiet over there. And I seen the bushes move a little bit, you know, and then it was nothing. And I thought, and I'm sitting there, you know, and I shot her at 8 o'clock, you know, and I think, man, that's my knock over there. I can see it glowing, you know. I said, she's right there. She's right there. So then I shot her at 8 o'clock. I got down about 11. And I didn't even look for blood. I knew she was dead, you know. And I walked up that run, and I get there, and there's my arrow laying there. You know, I'm going, oh, shit, you know. And I could see that where, you know, it was laying in the knock, you know, from the stand, but there was blood all over right there, you know. And then I looked about another, I don't know, 8-10 yards up that run, and here she's laying there dead, you know. So when she come up out of there, you know, the arrow came out, but she was done right there. You can see, you know, when they start weaving. Mm-hmm. And that's when I must have saw the little bushes moving or something. You know, she was dead. Nice doe, you know. And I'm telling you one thing, she tasty, really tasty. Yeah, you know, and we had a great time down there, though. I mean, they shot a couple of nice bucks, you know, 140 class bucks, you know.
I think that one is bigger than 140. That is a big, big deer mass. Just crazy mass.
It could be, you know. It's got a lot of mass. But Earn filmed some bucks, you know, that normally you shoot them all day long up here. You know, I mean, you know, he's got some good footage, a couple of them. And he saw a buck of a lifetime. He's never seen a buck this big down anywhere. He said, in my life, he said, I've never seen one this big.
That, was it killing Ernie? Because Ernie's like, you know, Mr. Trigger when it comes to
It was really weird, you know. He was pretty calm, I guess, you know. He talked to me. He did a good job filming him too, you know.
Was there did the guys have like a standard, like, okay, this is
pretty, yeah,
like,
well, you know, I mean,
no 100-inch bucks.
Well, I think you know, talking with Ernie, and then like, when you go to his house and you look at the deer that are on the wall, they're all kind of about the same size. You know, there's one a little bit bigger than the other ones. And, you know, the one he killed in Nebraska, the mm-hmm. one he killed in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like some of them, he says, yeah, I don't know if I should have shot that one or whatever. But I think he does get pumped up. Like, he gets pretty jacked. Like when I killed the one last year, he's like, I can't believe you didn't get that mounted. And I'm like, well, I already have that one mounted. It's like exactly the same as the other one over there that I killed there. So I think
I'm just saying, because like last year he killed 2 bucks on the first week, wasn't it?
First day. it was the third day of season, but his first sit.
So, you know, in anyways, yeah, there was, you guys ask about a standard. Well, being it was the first time we'd been there, and he said, shoot whatever makes you happy, you know, shoot whatever you're happy with, you know.
But you're gonna be real happy if you shoot one of the big ones,
yeah, right? Oh yeah. And he, you know, and we knew there was big ones in there, you right. know. So
now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, like on that note, is like, were you only hunting like preset stands, or were you hunting out of your stands too?
No, we could hunt our climbers or whatever we wanted.
But
to.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because some of the stuff, you know, where the stands were, was so thick, you know what I mean? It would be very, you know, you only have one shot, one place, you know, or whatever, you know. And then we found good areas, you know what I mean, multiple runways and stuff like that too. So, you know, and hunted out of the climbers, you know.
Okay.
Which
I just wonder, because I mean, especially, I mean, I don't think other than elk hunting I've ever been on a trip where I was gone for, you know, hunted hard for 13 days. 5 days, 7 days is hard enough. So by the time, I mean, I think about like in the UP, right, you hunt, you know, 4 or 5 days, and then, you know, especially when you're doing hanging hunts and stuff like that, where you're setting up, tearing down. It's like, oh, there's a fucking ladder stand over there. Like, I'm going to go sit in that for a while.
You know, I'm telling you though, you know, and I'm no spring chicken, you know, but hunting every day like that, you know, there's days you know, all of a sudden you go, man, I'm gonna take a break, you know, I got to, you know. So I took a morning off or an afternoon off, you know, or something like that. If the weather looked a little shitty, windy, you know. But I hunted hard, you know. I mean, I thought I did, you know, I enjoyed it, you know. I enjoyed it. Because you never know, man. I mean, the next second could be the, you know, that deal.
Yeah, so John talking about the deer that I had hit. I got home from Wisconsin on Thursday, and Friday, I don't know what was going on Saturday. I don't think I hunted on Saturday. But Friday, I walked freaking 5 miles on four different chunks of public trying to find something to set up on. Kind of like what I was talking to you about, you know. And I ended up in a spot similar to like what you were talking about. I had scouted. I knew there was a buck bed, but it was around this next point. And I walked in, and there was a runway coming out of the swamp out of this creek bottom. And there was like a bench, and it was all torn up right there. Like, I think it was turkeys, but there was acorns there, so. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was pretty open, but it was definitely a travel route on the outside of that. So I set up there, but I went, and I don't know why I didn't hunt on Saturday, but Sunday I went back in to where I had been hunting previously, and I went there. That's the first place I went on. I hunted a little bit. No, Friday. I dropped my daughter off on Friday to school. And then I went in there, and I was like, well, it's the rut. I'm going to go in there. Well, walking into this spot where I ended up shooting that buck, I found a gut pile right there. So I kind of walked in, and like the guy was hunting in the tree that I had picked out. Like, because I walked up, and there was blood right there. And so I was a little bit disheartened, and it was warm. It was really warm. So I was like, I just wasn't feeling it, you know, for whatever reason. So I left, went to another spot, walked around, found some good sign, but the wind was wrong. I'd walked this entire property. I walked one road up where Casey killed her turkey. Where I missed the Jakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that doesn't narrow it down. But
how many times?
But I walked between those two roads. I scouted, and I ended up at the other road. And I was like, well, I kind of burned this whole section. So I ended up there by the golf course on the creek on the other side, I think, of where you were hunting, where you hunt at the end there. And didn't see anything, so I'm like, well, Sunday, I'm going to get up and hunt. And I got in super early, and good, like perfect wind, and it's a weird, like, draw-type deal, public. But on Friday, that's why I ended up leaving. I was gonna hunt it, and my daughter and I, the night before, had driven around, and the corn was still up, and they cut the corn on the other side. Well, when I got in there, they were cutting the corn, and I don't hunt areas like that. So I'm like, I don't know what to do while they're cutting corn, you know. Is it good? Is it bad?
Just like, hunt it.
Well,
could push them out.
But this was like, this was like 11 o'clock. Mm. So it wasn't like prime time or anything. It was, so I was like, I don't really know. There's a freaking combine running right there. You know, I'd imagine that the deer would be there.
They don't give a shit about that combine.
No.
Well, that,
I mean, again, they're using that corn a lot of times as
cover. Yeah.
So when it's gone.
Well.
Or they come down the road.
You know? Well, and that all comes into play like later on in the story, because so Sunday I go in there, and I was thinking about, you know, Greg Litzinger, they shot three deer out of the same tree in like a 48-hour period. And so the deer didn't really matter like that time of year, you know.
Right.
They were just boogieing through there. Well, I get up the tree, and I'm sitting there, and it's a good wind. Now this is a fresh cut cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm got my binos up, and I'm looking out in there, and it's foggier than shit. Like, even walking in there in the morning, it was so freaking foggy. Like, I couldn't see shit through my binoculars. They were fogging up because of all the, like, condensation or whatever.
It was so foggy where I was at, too, that morning, that my rangefinder, when it's foggy like that, your rangefinder don't work.
Yeah.
It's like eight yards.
Yeah, I had the same issue. Well,
too much moisture in there.
So, like, I don't know what time, like, it got light, because I shot that deer at 7:45, and, like, on the Tacticam video, it's freaking...
It looks dark. It's
crazy foggy and super dark. But I'm sitting there, and, like... 270 degrees off of like where the wind was blowing 100 yards. All of a sudden I just see a tail jump this ditch, and then another tail jumped the ditch, and I'm like, that's crazy. You know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on, get my binoculars up. I look, and then all of a sudden I just see this freaking tank of a buck, just huge beams. Like it kind of like what you're saying. This is 150 yards away, and I just see big beams, you know. And so I get my binoculars out, and I'm looking, and then he jumps the ditch, and I freaking grunt, you know, and he turns and he looks my way, and I just see freaking, I mean, giant. And he went back in there. So I'm like, well, that's a good sign, you know. So I'm sitting there, and a little bit later, like coming out of that corn, and the whole time, like, in the dark, and I hunted there this morning, like from a half hour before it gets light, there's 9,000 turkeys because of this cut corn that are just like posted up there. I got them on my camera. I mean, they're just oh my God, just annoying, you know? So you're not hearing anything. It was pretty windy. And I see a spike out in the field along this ditch coming out of the cut corn. So I'm grunting at him. I'm, you know, because I want activity by me, you know. And he walks through the ditch, and he's just farting around out there. And I look over, and one of those does, so those deer were like 150 yards over there. So this deer pops out, this doe crosses back over my way on the ditch. I'm like, well, that's good. And I'm ranging her 68 yards. I'm like, well, that's kind of far. But I'm ranging her because I'm like, well, if the buck comes over there, and like, you know, everything's
good. Doing scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, right. You're in a tree.
Yeah. So,
for Christ's sake.
And at this time, again, I'm John's height here. I'm two sticks up, and then I'm on that platform. So I looked at it today, and it's probably maybe 12 feet. It's probably...
That's pretty good for two sticks.
Well,
he's got the aiders, right?
The two aiders, and then that, the platform, the wingman is on a stick too. So it's kind of like three sticks, you know.
You were much higher than John then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was two sticks without an aider.
So and that kind of comes into play too. So I'm up there, and I'm looking at her through the binoculars, and I was taking video of it on my phone, and you know, and then she disappeared, and I was like, I was trying to see if she had bedded down or whatever. I put my binoculars away, and then there's a buck like at 5 yards. Like right next to me, and he looks just freaking like, the only word I have been using is like haggard. Like, he looks like death warmed over, like big neck. He looks like he swam there, like covered in mud and water, like wet. His eyes are red and big, tall, like not outside of his ears,
and big forks, and he looks at me and he's got brow tines. It's just this big 6-point, and I'm like looking at him like, this deer looks, I can't believe this deer is just a 6-point, you know? I mean, it's a big deer and tall, like super tall, and then he just, I mean, he looks right at me because I'm at eye level with him, and I'm like, holy shit, you know? And I'm just like looking the other way, like pretending like I didn't see him, you know, like maybe he won't notice me.
I'm part of the tree.
And then he just looks back like very like robotic and just like walked forward. And so my bow, I hang my bow, and my bow's that carbon Zion. It doesn't have split limbs, and the limb just fits inside of that hero clip. And then I don't hang it by the cam because John's always in my head. Like when I'm in the tree, like whatever I'm doing, like, oh, John would not like this. Like John would not like this. And it's like hung up and
on the little rubber grommet.
Yeah. On the little thing. And I can't get it off. And this deer's like walking like now past me. And it's kind of like one of those scenarios where, like you're saying, it's not like I only have a window, but as soon as he goes over this little berm, he's gone, and that mm-hmm. berm's 15 yards away. So I'm like trying to get this freaking thing off, and then finally I get it off. So as soon as I get it off, I reach up and I hit the Tacticam on, grab my release, and draw back. And so John is like, this is quick straw McGraw, because on the video is like 7 seconds or 8 seconds from.
I was like, when we're reviewing when I got over here and we're reviewing the footage, and it's like 7 seconds, you know, and I'm like, well, was that the beginning of it, or is that just like, did you cut it to there? And he's like, no, I think there's before that, and then he's like, click. Nope, that's the whole video.
It wasn't the whole video, but that's where it started.
But that's where it started. That was a shot. I'm like, so you turned on your tactic cam, drew the bow, and shot in 7 seconds.
Yeah. Well, this deer is still walking, and I didn't stop him because he just freaking looked at me in one bound, and he's gone. And I haven't stopped the last couple. So, I mean, there's so many things that I feel like I did wrong, like in this scenario, but he was walking away from me and walking up this berm. And that walking up is one thing that I did not take into account. And me being not that high, and this berm is like maybe like 6 feet, 7 feet tall. So I was probably, while I was shooting at this deer, maybe at the most 6 feet above him. And so I'm drawn back, and I get a good sight in my pins. I get it on the deer, and I move it back behind his like last rib, like quartered away shooting. And I just heard it go pop. And I'm thinking, I thought in my head, like that was a diaphragm. Like, and he kicked, he hopped up on the berm. He turned, walked, waggled his tail, and walked down over the other side of it. And as soon as I saw his antlers disappear, I said, he's dead right there. I thought he was dead. I would have bet you money that he was fucking toast right there, dead. Like,
he shot his dick off.
Well,
good possibility.
And so, you know,
now his eyes are really red.
Yeah. Oh, man. So is his ass.
So, I mean, I'm just like lights out. And for whatever reason, like, I know that last year I shot the same arrows and I had lighted nocks for them. I took them out when we went to the Total Archery Challenge, and I can't fucking find them to save my life. And then what nocks are you shooting? I'm shooting Black Eagle Spartan. So if someone knows, please tell me.
I'm pretty sure it's the X-Noc.
Well, I ordered
the same ones that I shoot in my Eastern Axis.
So I just ordered some X-Nocs. They're the knockoff ones or whatever from Amazon, because they would come quickly, and they don't fit. Mm. They're way too big. And I know that the one you had pushed right in there. So
I think mine are the S.
Yeah, I have some of those. Those are wrong. Like, I have all this conglomeration. Yeah, so I didn't use a lighted knock. So I can't tell exactly like where the hit was, like reviewing back the footage.
The only reason I know that is because those arrows, when I was up working up at the shop, they use the same, you can use the same insert. They're almost identical arrows, that Spartan. It's a thicker, it's a smaller diameter, and it's a heavier wall. It's a lot like the Easton Axis. But my,
I'm fairly certain that the inside diameter is 204. But I can't. I don't have any. The ones that you had, the ones that I ordered. So regardless, I didn't shoot a lighted knock.
That's
so
probably what you get when you order Amazon shit.
It's certainly possible. The package
mine
does
fit in there good.
Yeah.
And mine, I know mine are X knocks.
So. I didn't shoot a lighted knock. And so I'm up in the tree and I'm like glassing over there trying to see if I can see anything on the other side of the berm. I can't see my arrow. I'm shooting them zinger fletches and this one popped off, which it did what it was supposed to do. And so I'm like, then I'm sitting up there. Like I waited an hour. And I'm thinking, I can't see my arrow, and I'm just keep second guessing it. You know, I'm glassing down there, like I don't see any blood, like I don't see anything. And then I get down, and my arrow's like a foamy green with like blood. I mean, there's blood on the arrow all the way down, but it just looks kind of like. And so I'm like, oh fuck, like this isn't good, you know. And then
any X knock. Will work.
So I go up and I don't find blood like right there, but I walk and where I seen him go down over the berm, there's all sorts of blood, like bright red blood. Like it's not like nasty blood or, you know. And so now mind you, 100, 150 yards behind me is a gut pile, right? So behind this tree, there's a gut pile. So I follow this blood and I go up over this other little mound, go down into this thing. There's a freaking gut pile right there. This deer walked right through another gut pile and crossed this creek. And I walk up there, follow the blood. Then I find a spot where there's like, I would say, maybe like a 6 foot diameter of like blood. And it's like the wet, like gross, gutty blood, you know, like not what you're looking for. Not big spots of like heavy blood, no bubbles, no nothing. It's just like, it's all wet and blood, not like a bed. It was too big. It wasn't like it was like the deer stopped.
Stood there. Was walking. He was probably like, you know,
well, so I kept on the same track and I found another spot of blood. And then I found another quarter size spot of blood. And then like looking around, I didn't see anything more going that way, but that was where that blood went out of that spot. So I marked that on base map and then I marked it. I just put a piece of toilet paper there. And there was really thick stuff over to my right. And I walked up there and kind of did like a circle, just like a body search, kind of looking on the ground to see if there's any blood, but followed where the deer went, made a circle, came back, didn't really see anything. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to call a dog because I know I made a bad shot. And I was just like beside myself. Like I can't figure out like what's going on. So come back home, watch the thing. Well, as I was walking out, I called Brian, who we had on the podcast, Brian Dagan, who's a Michigan blood trackers. And he was taking the day off I think he just got home. He said he just got home at 5 from tracking all night. So he said he was taking the day off or whatever. And he said he'd get back with me, got me another dog. He said they're going to come out at, I got a hold of him and said 12 hours on a gut shot. So eight o'clock at night. So go home, look at the video,
look at it again and again and again, 1,000 times. And when I pulled up the video, John, like, what was one of the first things that I said?
I don't remember.
I said, God, that deer looks way smaller than the deer that I, like, I was like, I guess that's why there's, like, ground shrinkage or whatever, because I'm like, this, and it, I just couldn't believe, like, what the video, like, had this deer looking like, you know? And so fast forward to 8 o'clock, go out there with the dog. And it was just like, I don't know if the dog was like having an off night, which in reality now, maybe that's not the case. But we went all over. We did, like, my base map says it was 1.5 miles in like 2.5 hours, or, you know, just over 2 hours, whatever. But we went this way and went this way and went this way, and then we kept restarting. And one of the things, you know, with the, like, I don't know if those other deer being in there, and this section of this place where this deer ran into was the no hunting section. It wasn't private, and it wasn't no trespassing. And the rules for this property don't really say, like, whether you can go in there and track a deer or not. But so when I went back in there, I didn't have a bow, I didn't have a gun, I didn't have anything. And the tracker's like, you know, do you think we should call this in? And I'm like, I was certain that it was a dead deer. So I'm like, I think we're just going to find him laying right up there. Like, no big deal. So we go in there. Well, this is like deer mecca. So there's all sorts of deer sign, smells, everything in there. And then we get, I don't know, maybe 100 yards into the first track where we set off the dog, and the woods erupts with turkeys. And so the dog's like, you know, not having that, you know, so that distracted him, I think. And then, so we go back and restart. And it's just such a surreal thing, because, you know, I kept telling the tracker, I'm like, you know, I know that you do this all the time, but, like, for me, like, going in the dark to not look for blood, right, you know, and to just follow along. And we weren't, at this point, we weren't finding any, like, verification of, we didn't find another spot of blood. We didn't find anything. We didn't find any beds. We did jump a deer way off, but we didn't find any beds, any blood, anything. So we restarted a couple times, and then I said, you know, I think where this deer was circling around, or where there was this big spot, I think the deer doubled back, you know. And so we set the dog going another way, and he took off and went, and, you know, he's like, oh, I got blood. And so then we go up a little ways, and I found a ton of blood. You know, there's blood on leaves, but, you know, we're, you know, 12 hours later in the dark looking at dried up blood, like, on, you know, leaves that are red and brown. And, you know, it's hard enough, you know, sometimes in the daylight. And so, but at least we've got visual confirmation now. And then maybe 50, 60 yards up, we found like 3 beds that were, like, where he got up and shifted and moved. And then we went off. Maybe.
Was there blood in those beds?
Oh, yeah. Blood, hair, like, everything. And so we went off, and then all of a sudden we heard a whole bunch of coyotes, like, way off. And then we heard coyotes, like, right there. Like, not up in the UP. I've heard them, like, close enough where I can hear their, like, jaws snapping and, like, snarling, where they're, like, you know, they're real close. These were pretty close. They weren't that close. But beyond that, then all of a sudden those just cut off. And then we circled back around, and more turkeys took off and all the stuff. But we went back to those beds a bunch of times, restarted the dog, and
just couldn't get on it. And he said, you know, the dog, he said, you can see the dog like digging his nose, like way down in it, like trying to find the scent. And it was like, he just couldn't get it or whatever. So next day I had to work. I couldn't get back out there. We ended up after that, you know, called it and, you know, couldn't figure it out. But what he did say, we watched the video back and he says, I think you hit him back in low.
That's where he got the white hair.
And he said when he was in the beds, like all of the blood was like in one spot rather than being on both sides.
Right.
So he said a lot of times that's like a brisket hit, but in the scenario, I mean, that's certainly possible, but like what we're seeing, it could have just been just low and clipped the bottom, just went through the belly, like the low belly.
Right.
But you know, it didn't find him. So that day I couldn't do anything. Tuesday, Wednesday, I went out and threw a camera out there. And then I have this buck show up that I'm like, I think that's the buck.
It sure looks like
it's very close. But I sent it to Walt from Chasing Tails podcast. He's like, I don't know, I can't make it the same buck. From the videos, like it's hard, but there's enough mass there. And the deer in the daylight that's on this camera is the very similar to what I saw with my eyes. Like what the video has on it is much different, but I can't believe that the deer was that small that I shot.
Right. The video, I mean, with the fog and I mean the poor lighting and all the motion, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the tact cam and action camera.
And a 7-second video.
Yeah, 7 seconds.
Yeah, it was, you know.
And so that second picture, that buck really, to me, looks like the buck. I mean, he's in the same spot, doing the same thing. Of course, I mean, there could be one similar, but it looks, I mean, I would have to.
In the first picture that pops up, and with these cell cams, like, you don't get the HD image.
Right, so when you go out, do you have it on video, too?
I think that one's on video.
So you'll be able to get a better, when you go pick it up and get the actual card.
But this picture has enough of the back of his belly where it almost looks like there's a big red spot there.
Right.
It's hard to see. I mean, it could be a red brush or something in front of it.
Could be a shadow too.
But it's in kind of like the right spot. So all the signs are like, but like, I expected John to be like, but it ain't the fucking same deer, but it has it like the same mass for sure. And the difference is like the tine length.
Right. Looking at the tine length, but like I said, the
forks look the same, but that's just different.
Right. But different angles and everything. I mean,
so
it'll be interesting when you pull the card and see the video, right, or the, you know, the two pictures. Because that's, I have mine set for two bursts with a video. So you get one picture, a video, and then the second picture is the one that they send you. So
So we'll see, like, on in that regard. But I hunted out there this morning, and I saw that buck, the buck that's on the camera. And he was pushing does around, and I mean, you see him, and right now they're all walking stiff-legged, and you know, right. So I'm like, I don't know if he looked like he had like a pimp stroll like John's turkey, but and then I saw another buck, and I got a spot now where I'm gonna move up and I think hunt from the ground where these deer are crossing that ditch.
So were you hunting a gun with a gun today?
No. No. Dang. No, no. This property is bow only.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Good deal.
But no. And you know, with your cell cam deal, I have, so the one spot where I had went up and hunted, and it's a bitch to get into, I've been trying to get Frank to go out there, opening morning of gun.
Because it's a bitch to get into.
So. Well, there's a guy that's hunting there. I mean, he's not, yeah, well, he's older than me, but he's younger than you.
Exactly.
But there's a path in there now, John. Like when I went in there with Chris Langley's, there's a path, because like I got into them cattails and I'm like, well, this is easy walking. I'm like, somebody else is in here. As soon as we got in there, there's a tree stand hanging right hunting my camera. And I got the guy the day before on the camera, but I mean, I don't know. There's an 8-point on there that's Pope and Young, and he was there 7/22 opening day of gun. And he was there at 10:45 at night. So he survived the first day of gun season. But I still have bucks on that camera. I have multiple bucks on that camera even now. And as I was sitting in the tree this morning, my pocket's going off and there was a buck. I don't think it was that big one, but there was a decent buck in there. At like 7:10. And honestly, where we go out to hunt, that's a mile back there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is only a half a mile.
Yeah.
Feels like two.
Two and a half.
But
especially now, all my, so the one thing I found out, well, the one night I hunted, I can't remember what, I was sitting in the, I was up in my tree and I was wearing my insulated rubber boots and they suck for saddle hunting because they're too soft.
Are they, mine are squeaky, like.
No, these are just too soft. They're just cheap ones, but they were insulated. So I just picked them up like, I don't know, a year or two ago. And I'm sitting there and my feet are all, you know, doubled over and I look down and there's a big old huge hole along the seam on, you know, like my big toe. Like, well, I'm glad I didn't step in any, you know, creek. So then I put on my uninsulated boots to go to the other spot where I have to cross the creek. And I hate those boots anyway because they're always hurt my ankles. They're so stiff, but they've lasted, you know, I think they're Irish setters. But it's got the neoprene on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm crossing the creek and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
What? I got a wet foot.
Mm-hmm. My left foot, boot on my left foot. And you can feel it like in the neoprene, it's like separated. Like
yeah.
That's what's.
Mine's got, the one I looked at, there's like a hole. I don't know what happened. If I caught it on something, poked a hole through it.
I don't know how they do it, like with the camo laminate on the outside, on the membrane, and then like the neoprene, and then the inside. Well, that's like, you can feel like the separation in the three layers, and that's right where it is. Cause I was feeling on my other boots to see if there was any issues. But Frank's been using, we got him some of those very expensive
gum leaf. Yeah.
And he forgot he even had them. I'm like, have you been wearing those? He's like, oh no, they're in my closet. And then Chris Ferd there, he says, yeah, my dad's like, I don't want to use them. I don't want to scuff them up. I don't want to wreck them. Like, so how have those been working out for you?
Good.
I mean, because like I said, I paid full price for them.
And they're really pliable. You know what I mean?
Like, what's the soles like? Are the soles really soft too?
No.
They have a Vibram sole.
Got a nice Vibram sole on them.
So it's got a good, like.
And it's got a zipper up the side, you know? You can open them up, you know what I mean? Get your stuff in there and then pull it up, you know? Mm-hmm. They're nice.
Like your gun or your dagger or what stuff you put in there. Yeah,
you
know,
reach down, grab your bow, you know? But I do want to say one thing about some boots. And I've got a pair of the Cabela's, I don't know what they are, they're 10 million.
The Frankenstein
pack
boots?
Yeah, the they're not a pack boot. No, they're a leather boot, but they're like,
oh,
they're just below the knee, but they're big.
Uh-huh.
And I was last year. I'm trying to climb with my summit, and I'm going, my God, what the hell's going on? I said, I can't climb a tree anymore. You know what I mean? There was no way. You know, I'm going like, and then the whole time, you know, like I tried it like two or three times, you know, and the next thing I know, you know, I'm going, well, shit, it's these goddamn boots. I can't bend my ankles. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like trying to climb with ski boots.
That's what it was, John. It was exactly like that, man. I'm not shitting you, you know? And I'm going, well, shit, I can't climb a tree with these on. And then I had a pair of the mucks, you know? Threw the mucks on and almost killed myself. I went up there so fast. You know, it was like automatic, you know? It was crazy. Yeah, them boots, they're great. They're warm. They're waterproof, you know. And you do, you know, I'm actually 4 inches taller, too, with them on. You know, I had to get one of the guys down here, a little shorter than us, you know. I said, hey, man, check these boots out. And he said, what? I said, yeah, put them on once, you know. We're all standing there, you know. And he puts them on. He goes, yeah, them are nice. I said, and now you're almost as tall as me. You asshole.
So what do you got planned coming up for continuing to hunt?
Actually, no plans right now.
No?
I'm just got too much shit on the plate. I'd like to get back out that spot, but I'm actually going to give Frank the...
Coordinates.
Maybe he can go out there and kill that big buck with his gun or something.
If he's still there.
If he's still there. But I don't know. I might. I definitely. I don't know. I'll shoot a doe or something.
Yeah. I've got all my tags left for Michigan. So.
Yeah. I'm going to head back out there.
Go out and buy. Can you still buy like 10?
Yeah.
10
yeah.
Universal tags.
Don't get Frank started. It's a whole new podcast.
We'll Jesus
Christ. 3 hours.
It's like, yeah, let's just kill every deer in the state.
I'm going to head out Sunday back out there. I may go, depending on what my cameras are doing, but like I saw there was a ton of deer where I was at today. And I saw 3-4 does in the field, and then I seen the 2 bucks. And then all of a sudden, like, it was all the way on the other side of the field. I seen, like, 8 does just pour out of there. And they were just milling around, and then I lost them. And then, I don't know, maybe a coyote ran through there or something. Because all these turkeys took off, and then I seen all the tails. But those deer were still over there, but I couldn't see them. But I can get within, like, easily within 50 yards of where those deer cross that ditch now. And I'm just going to sit. There's all these push-ups that are right there. And I mean, they cross, but they're not crossing from my side over there. Like all these deer. And you know, this is kind of like going back to like what you said, like when you scouted like a few other times, like another time, like the first time I hunted in this area, I saw all these deer in this exact same spot. And I said, I need to be out there on the ground. And then the one time I went there to go back out there on the ground, the wind wasn't doing what it was supposed to. It was just like variable. We talked about that on a previous podcast, and I didn't get out there on the ground. And I never went back to that tactic. And I mean, where that spike, I wouldn't have seen that big.
You need to get the ghillie suit on.
I actually thought about that today when I was walking in.
Come on over to the house.
When I got down, and well, I'd have to freaking figure out if I can shoot with it without it being like a fucking...
It looks like Hagrid out there.
An explosion. But that's exactly what it is. But there's a nice little spot where it like makes it like a saddle in these big old mounds where I'm like, I can get right in there and shoot, you know, easily right there. And like the day I shot that buck... That's exactly where that spike was standing. And there's that push up goes all the way along there. And I know the deer are using the other side of that as a travel corridor because, you know, they're safe.
Right.
So, and that's where they're all going. And I seen those 2 big bucks the first time I hunted it. They both went right to that section and then they just walked right along it. So it's just like jogged my memory today. I'm like, I'm ranging over there. I've got the binoculars and I'm there. I'm like, those deer, they crossed right by that tree and they fucking disappeared. Well, I walk over there. Yeah, that's right where I've got it marked. Like on my base map, it says cross here, you know?
hunt here.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, we get so locked into this like mentality of like, oh, I got my sticks and my blah blah blah, and like, I don't know. This is just, and I feel like this is kind of like one of those fun places to hunt because, like, there's deer there.
There's so many deer.
There's so many deer. Right. So even if like they don't come by me like today, I got to do a really cool observation sit. Right. Got to work on my freaking calling in 25 mile an hour winds. I end up, I'm walking in and Frank calls me and he's like, get out of the tree. And I was like, I'm like, well, I'm walking in. What's up? You know,
like, you know, we were talking, you know, about, you're talking about the call and then in that buck, that I seen at 35, you know, the guys, you know, they said, well, Did you call for him? Did you call? You know, I said, I look like a goddamn one man band up that tree, man. When that somebody went by, you know, it was all that shit going on, little rattle, you know.
But other than that, other than hunting, this coming up Sunday, John, plug your ears. I'm breaking out the gun.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, I'm bringing my bow too, but I'm taking my daughter up to the UP. Mm-hmm. So we bought a buddy heater. We're figuring out our snack list and
buddy heater for the blind.
Yeah.
It's got good ventilation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a newer buddy heater. So that's got a carbon.
Yeah. It's got the shut off and it's got all that stuff, but, we're going to have the,
anyways,
the windows open in these shooting shacks that we've got up there. Otherwise, I'm just bringing that same blind that we hunted out of turkey. So it'll be plenty ventilated.
The see me blind?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like, you know, in my thoughts on, you know, I want, if I'm going to hunt on my own, I'll bring my bow. Like if she wants to sleep in it, like in the morning or whatever. But, you know, the ordeal, like I'm happy that you think that that's the same deer too. Cause that makes me believe that, you know, I'm not like crazy.
It's a good chance that it could be,
yeah.
You know?
But as bad as I feel about like that scenario, like, I don't want to be hunting with her and have like a similar situation. You know what I mean?
You can always blame it on her like you did when you shot myself
with the nail gun. Yeah. But I don't. And she's like, I did ask him a question. Like she remembers. She's listening. But yeah, I mean, I want it to be like the best possible scenario. You know what I mean? So that's my thought process, but it should be fun. Like we have to get up there. Like I just did a podcast with the habitat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle did just kill a really nice buck. Did I send that to you? He killed a real nice buck up there off that property. But after we got done with the podcast, I was showing him the,
is that brow times?
Very short.
Well, that's
real, real short.
That is that land up there, though.
That's like, well,
Peter.
Well, my buddy Larry, he passed away.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. But, this last weekend. So I'm bummed about that. But a lot of the bucks up there, like a lot of the bucks he has on the wall and stuff, no brow tines at all. It's just something weird. And then the ones that they do have are just small ones. Like that, you know, the video of that buck that you seen that I had.
Look at the four that came out on that ridge, man.
Yeah, the 115-inch four-point.
I mean, he's like 18, 20 inches wide, man. Biggest thing, heavy. And I'm going to shoot this thing. You know, I mean, I got him point blank. He comes out, you know. And I'm looking at him going,
it's a four-point?
That's it. He ain't got no eye guards. He ain't got a nub, man. It's just big forks, you know.
He's like, hey, I ain't no dummy. I'm living.
Well, and remember that's that Their neighbor there?
The neighbor said the same thing. He said, he's like, I'm glad you saw it because I was going to shoot him if I saw him again just because so someone would believe me.
He's like, he starts growing them antlers. He's like, yeah, I'm breaking these things out right now.
Hey, it was like, no kidding. I went in there after the morning hunt, looked at this spot, seen what it was tore up, you know, and I thought, all right, took my climber back in there, you know. Got up the tree. I wasn't up the tree an hour, you know, and I hear him back snapping, coming out, you know, and all of a sudden I could just see white horns, you know, and I thought, oh, this was going to be cool. Yeah. He comes right to this ridge, comes up there, man, and I'm ready, you know, it's less than 20 yards, you know, and I'm looking and I'm going, hey. He turns and looks right at me too. You're on my way, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm going, that's it. He's a 4-point, man.
He just wanted you to see that he didn't have any other points.
Yeah. He's going like, and I mean, walked away slow, you know, up over the bank like this, you know, kind of like, oh, I think I better go this way, you know, and I'm going, you son of a bitch. Couldn't believe it. What a tank.
But yeah.
Good deer, too.
I talked to him about, like, what we could do, and, like, I've got one of the Tacticams up there. I had my dad put it up there, and I got one nice buck on camera.
We should, you know, take that guy up on the minerals and stuff too.
Yep.
I mean, because that would be a good
yeah
that's... And so my buddy Larry, his son now has, you know, took possession of all the stuff, and I still have, you know, permission to go up there and hunt. I haven't had a chance to talk to Tim about it. I talked to him a little bit about it when I was up there last time visiting, but I definitely, that's another like really good opportunity for their properties too, you know, to go out and put some of that minerals out. So I listened, like, since I've been commuting a lot, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, mainly like the Meat Eater stuff. This out automatically. I actually burned up 7 gigs and my wife is pissed. But. So one of them, they're talking about how, you know, everything's about genetics and genetics and genetics. And, like, I can't remember who they were talking to, but they're talking about, like, the studies actually show it's not as much as the genetics, but it comes down to, like, the condition that the mother is in when she...
And that goes exactly right back to that
exactly.
Mineral.
Thing. So that's exactly, I was like, man, that is exactly like the scenario. If you can put a mineral and have these does, you know, like when they have like an easy winter and the, you know, they're full of fat and they can nourish these bucks, basically they're set from the time they're born. It's going to take 5 years to be a huge buck. But if they have a hard winter and this doe is like malnourished and everything,
right.
That buck might have the best genes ever.
But you're not going to produce.
But in 5 years, he's still going to be a little scraggly buck.
Quality.
He's never going to be able, he's basically doomed from the beginning to be a big buck.
And something that I looked at down there too this year, that doe I shot was just heavy fat, right? I mean, really nice fat on that deer, you know? And one of the guys that shot one of the bigger bucks down there, that buck didn't have any fat. You couldn't find any fat on that deer.
Because he was running.
Oh, yeah.
He ran it off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a really interesting. It made a, you know, I made a mental note about that. I'm like, you know, especially for up in those areas that, you know, they're in the cedar swamps and stuff like that.
Another thing, though, too, remember Mark, what he planted? Those
radishes?
Yes. Yes. I'm telling you. Those are, after the frost, you know, and when you get to snow, they dig them suckers up, man. And I mean, he grew some monsters, didn't he? They were huge.
Yeah. You know, you're like holding the size of a volleyball.
Yeah. They were like, you know, like a, almost like a beet, but they were a radish.
Really?
And it was Ernie that was with me, I think. We went out to out to the farm out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how they put them plots in. Have you seen how they do that now?
No, I haven't been to the farm.
You know where we turkey hunted at the end of the road?
Yeah.
In that last little field?
Yeah.
That was radishes.
Oh, it was. There.
Yeah. This year. And I, you know, of course I had to test one, dug it up, you know, and ate part of it, you know. It wasn't as sweet as I'd like, but, you know, I imagine now they are after the frost.
Right.
But I'm telling you, they did that on the other part, you know, where the snowmobile trail is, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
They did it out there, too.
Really?
Last year. Yeah.
Was there corn out there this year, too?
Oh, all total. Everything. Standing. Yeah.
Still?
Well, not now. I don't know. I haven't been there in, you know.
So the one day it was super windy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I hadn't been out there, so.
It was all the way from where you first get there?
Yeah. All the way to the back?
All the way to the back.
So that's some fun hunting.
That's what you've been saying.
You know, get out and do some corn stalking.
And there was a lot. That first section, John, you know, the first section after you take mm-hmm. the curves and drive in to the first gate?
Yeah.
That road was solid tracks across there.
Yeah.
You know. That's where the deer went from the other side, which there are none now. Zero. Well, they migrated. They did, you know. I think what happened was they cut the other corn early. They chopped it.
Yep.
And then they, you know, they fertilized it. They sprayed that liquid shit on it, you know.
Yeah, the deer are like,
oh, no, not eating that, dude, you know. Mm-mm, no acorns over there either, you know. So they're just
they're going over the, right.
And they were on the other side, believe me.
Yeah, I wish I would have known that because I would have went out there then.
Oh, that was all. It was all standing.
That's a fun hunt to do, like, in the middle of the day. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they go out there and lay in them rows.
Corn stalking.
Just get with, you got to have the right wind, I mean, depending on which way you're starting. Right. But just sneak your way through. And especially if you have a couple guys, you can kind of stagger yourself and just
right.
peek through, just don't shoot each other.
Yeah, you got to watch that shit. But yeah, well, I got to get you up there just even for like a camp, like just because it's
when. So when are you going?
I'm leaving Thanksgiving, just for the weekend.
Just you and Stella?
My dad is up there. My dad is going up on Saturday. My brother is going up there on Tuesday with my nephew,
Dustin.
And I asked Frank and Chris if they wanted to go. But I don't know what Chris's work schedule is or whatever, but, I mean, Frank's welcome to go.
Mine's tight, you know.
But if you want to come on. You can bring your bow. You can bring a gun.
But the thing is, you know, what's fun up there is when you go, we would go up there, remember, in early season, mm-hmm. you know, and the weather's decent, you know, and, I mean, it's just a fun time.
It's a fun play. Like, it's
yeah.
It's a real, like what you said, how you never got like a deer camp. It's a real, like,
yeah.
deer camp.
Yeah.
Like, it's legitimately, like, what I miss about, like, but that's what gets me excited is, like, man, now if we put some trail cameras out there that we don't have to check that we can right. get, it might give you a little bit better, it might motivate me a little bit more to.
Right.
To go You'd up be there. Surprised what goes through there.
Oh, you know. I don't think I would be surprised. I just think that it would make me want to make the drive.
Yeah. Like, I've seen some pretty big deer up there, you know.
Over well, especially years. If you do some minerals and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Because now, instead of going down, I mean, yeah, Ohio's great. Going out of state's great. But you already got Michigan tags. You put a little, you know, especially now at Stella's, you know, you can go up there for a weekend in the summer, spring, you know.
Only problem is the ticks.
Yeah, ticks, there's a lot of ticks.
Ticks is bad. Ticks are bad.
Especially you're getting over towards the Wisconsin side, and that's Lyme disease.
But, too, like I was saying, about those radish patches, you know what I mean? You could do, you don't have to do a monster one, you know what I mean? They produce quite a bit, you know?
Well, and that's what we were talking about. We can talk about it off the podcast, but there's a few different spots where he said, you know, you could just do this, and then, like, we've got the big field we could put in, like.
Right.
I said if we just put in corn, because he's like, if you put in some sort of screen so that you can get in there. But I'm like, well, what if we just did the whole thing of corn and we just left the back section open? And then even if we harvested the corn, we could say, hey, just leave a section, rows. Couple rows here and a couple rows there so that, you know, we can still be screened and the deer still have something.
Or put in that screen. What is that shit that they shit grows
Misacanthus. Like some kind of yes.
Invasive species grass or something.
No, it's not invasive because they did it on the back 40.
Right. But you know that the south side, you know, because of the way the pines are there, or little cedars or whatever them trees are,
mm-hmm.
that goes, you know, you got pretty good cover there, but you don't have any cover if, you know, walking out the other way.
Right. And then you have to still cross all of that. To
yeah,
get in
that's
there,
what so. I'm saying.
But, I mean, you guys have 200 acres.
240
acres. And then the whole northern border is
public land.
But when you said you can't really access that, I mean, it's miles.
Well, yeah.
I mean, are there people that go in there?
Like directly behind us? Maybe off of the other property. I mean, on our northwest corner, yeah, there's access right there. But if you go to the other, if you go to the northeast corner, it's a long ass ways.
Right. So what I'm saying is, it's kind of like a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be deer.
Yeah.
And it's swamp and.
Oh, yeah, there's all kind of cedar swamp and stuff in there.
But, yeah, so we'll have to get you up there. I mean, even if we just go up there for a weekend in the summer to do some maintenance
tick
or whatever.
Checking.
Yeah, yeah.
Checking for ticks.
But yeah, so I'm going to head up there after Thanksgiving and take her and be like a family thing. Because I haven't been up there in 5 years. I don't know.
Last time we were up there,
I shot that buck, so. Oh, 2018, so 4 years. Yeah.
You had three deer hanging, remember? On the pole up there?
Yeah, because that's when you got home and shot the
Shot the one out there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to shoot the spike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but yeah, so it's kind of where we're standing right now.
Man, it's like my first podcast in over a month, isn't it?
I know. You've been busy.
I've been on two podcasts. And
well, I was on the last one when...
Yeah.
It was before I went, you know.
Yeah, John's a busy guy, and he's always like, well, I don't know who we're talking to. So,
like, all right. I'm always
well,
busy,
I was going to do it. You did one Thursday. Or you did one. No, you did one last Sunday. I don't know, but you guys had the COVID scare. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was last week. That was last Sunday.
I was out doing leaves today, man.
Or last Thursday, yeah.
In the snow.
Yeah.
Plugged up my lawnmower with snow. I couldn't believe it, man. The chute was... It actually does a pretty good job of the first time I went around the yard, you know? Because I blew all the leaves away from the house.
Yeah.
And then I get it out there, and it's like... it's like the bags in the back when I lifted it up. It's like you were making a snowman, you know what I mean? It was packed in there like pretty cool stuff.
Fucking Olaf's gonna come crawling on.
Olaf's got a lot of leaves on him.
Went from Roloff to Olaf driver.
That's right.
But yeah, so I think that's kinda all we got for the evening, fellas. So thanks for listening. We'll keep you updated and keep it rolling.
All right.
See you
later on.